Chapter 6. "Ready in all respects, Colonel," the pilot called from the dropship's cockpit. "Right," Smythe acknowledged, then added under his breath, "Let's do this again." "I'm sure it will work just fine this time," Skippy said with excess cheeriness. "In the meantime, would you like to play a nice game of chess?" "What do you think?" "Eh, good point. You're probably more of an Assassin's Creed kind of guy. Would you like me to set up a multiplayer game so we can—" "I would like for you to quit the mindless chatter so I can focus on my job." "Geez, Louise, somebody didn't sleep well last night." "There really isn't anything for you to do unless and until a target ship arrives. Even then, your team is on standby while I do my thing. So, plenty of time for you to—" "Please, stop talking." "Okay, okay. Damn, you tried to do a guy a favor, and he—" "Is this you not talking?" Skippy didn't respond. Smythe suppressed a smile. The beer can did not actually irritate him that much anymore, but his grumpiness had become part of their game. He also suppressed a desire to contact the other two dropships in the formation. Major Frey and Lieutenant Tanaka didn't need him looking over their shoulders. If they had an issue, they would contact him. Still, he felt the need to do something to relieve the tension, the sheer boredom that was as much a part of combat action as terror and excitement was. Even more so. Boredom was most of the action he'd seen, waiting fully ready to do something, and waiting for the order to do something, anything. What bothered him, what fed his anxiousness, was the unusual situation of having to wait for the enemy to act. The Stars were used to having the initiative, of controlling when to act, and even whether to engage or not. In that case, he could call off the planned mission if the conditions weren't right. But he had no control over when the conditions would present themselves so he could evaluate whether to give the final go order. The problem was they were waiting for the Rindaloo to act, and while Skippy was confident he could predict the enemy's pattern of action with a reasonable degree of accuracy, what the Merry Band of Pirates required was for Skippy to have an extraordinary degree of accuracy. So far, he had been either way off or, at best, meh. The Spiders had a task force searching for Valkyrie, a squadron of 4 cruisers with 6 destroyers and 4 dedicated sensor frigates, all supported by a single star carrier that also supplied fuel and a dock for basic maintenance. The warships were using a standard Rindaloo fleet search pattern, which had made it relatively easy for Valkyrie to avoid being detected, and Skippy's prediction of how the search area would progress was spot on. The issue was his ability, or lack of it, to predict what the star carrier would do. That vulnerable space truck performed short jumps to stay within easy range of the warships and to avoid providing a static target. The first time the star carrier jumped, it had emerged 6 light minutes from where Skippy expected. The second time, it popped into existence more than 2 light hours off the predicted location. The third time, it was within less than 76 kilometers of where Skippy had predicted, a remarkable result. Unfortunately, it also had a cruiser attached for refueling, and Skippy grumbled that he couldn't hack into 2 Rindaloo ships at the same time. Whichever ship he hacked into first, the other ship would be alerted in the split second when control transferred to him. Reluctantly, Smythe had been forced to declare the team would stand down and remain hidden in stealth until the star carrier jumped away. Again. With the Stars in stealth dropships, they needed the enemy space truck to emerge at a convenient distance and moving at roughly the predicted course and speed. The second 2 criteria should not be a problem. There really was no need for the star carrier to maneuver in normal space. The first criteria was an absolute. The dropships could not risk flying far to get to the enemy ship, and it had to be within the limited range for Skippy to extend his presence, or the operation was a non-starter. While Skippy's presence could cover a large volume of space, the definition of large was very different in the vast empty gulf between stars. The 4th attempt would be the last for several days, for each time the battlecruiser had to jump in, retrieve the trio of dropships, jump them to the next location, and jump away. With all but 1 of Valkyrie's reactors shut down, the mighty warship could only perform a limited number of short jumps before the drive capacitors had to be recharged. It was not an optimal situation. But then, if the situation were optimal, there would be no need for the special operators of ST Alpha. The star carrier was at least changing locations on a fairly predictable schedule as the warships completed their search patterns. If it held to that schedule, they would be waiting another 2 hours. He knew from experience that the mind-deadening boredom of doing nothing wasn't good for keeping himself sharp, and since the dropship's sensors would detect the Star Carrier long before he could, there was no need for him to personally keep watch. "Very well, Skippy," he called the beer can softly. "Let's play a game." "Oh, goody," the avatar shimmered to life. "We can play—" "We are playing 20 questions." Let me check the rules." "Okay, simple enough." "You will ask the questions. You have 20 tries for each round, and we will play 10 rounds." "Ha! Go ahead. I will slay at this game." Spoiler alert. Skippy did not slay. In fact, he sucked at it. "This is so unfair," he complained, sulking after the 10 rounds were over. "How am I supposed to guess what a meat sack is thinking? Your so-called thought processes are a disorganized mess." "Are you being a sore loser?" "I am not a loser." "You lost 10 rounds in a row," Smythe pointed out. "Fine. Now it is your turn to ask the questions. I am thinking of something. Go ahead. Ask away." "My first question is—" "Contact," the pilot called. "Colonel, it's looking good." The relief was evident in her voice. "Target emerged less than 198 meters from the predicted location and is alone. Repeat, no warships on the hardpoints." Smythe waited for Skippy to confirm, which took longer than it should have because the arrogant beer can wanted to gloat about his accuracy. "Skippy!" Smythe cut off the celebratory boasting. "Do you see any reason we should not proceed?"
"Nobody nope. It's all good, homeboy."
"Are you ready?"
"Hey, it's me."
Smythe gritted his teeth.
"Yes or no?"
"Ah, yes." "Did the SAS not issue a sense of humor to you?"
"If I need one, I will requisition it from stores."
"Team," he announced over the common channel,
"we are a go for phase one."
Phase one involved Smythe's dropship flying closer so Skippy could extend his presence to envelop the unwitting Star Carrier. It quickly became apparent that the enemy space truck was not expecting any hostile action and not expecting any warships to jump in for servicing. A reactor vented excess plasma in preparation to be shut down for routine maintenance, and on the other side of the primary hull, a small squadron of bots flew out to work on equipment attached to the outside of the ship. Neither action would have been initiated if the Star Carrier anticipated traffic in the area within several hours. That was very good news. It meant the space truck planned to remain there for an extended period. There was no reason to rush the operation.
"Okay,
I'm in," Skippy announced with a yawn, 17 tense minutes after he commenced remotely hacking into the Star Carrier's AI.
"Oh, that was so tedious."
"Hey, while I did that, I was thinking about that game, and I think I know where I went wrong with my questions.
Use clear language, please. Saying you are in is not meaningful. Do you have control of the Star Carrier's AI or not?"
"Not. Not yet. As I explained, the first step is to take control of that ship's external sensors, so the AI over there will not see us coming. Rindaloo systems are extremely difficult for even me to penetrate. They are hardened to an admirable degree. So, are we clear to proceed with phase two, or do you foresee any complications that were not already anticipated?"
"Other than me having to rely on a bunch of flea-bitten monkeys?" the beer can muttered.
"No. Proceed. And have fun storming the castle." The master AI of the Rindaloo Central Fleet Star Carrier Spirit of Dalphosican noted a minor anomaly in the starboard hull's lateral sensor array, and with a mental sigh added that to the list of nagging maintenance items to be taken care of. Of course, those items had to be taken care of as soon as possible, which would not be any time soon since the list was already lengthy, and many issues of higher priority needed to be addressed before bots could be instructed to investigate the sensor array. The AI, during the rare times it was able to have idle thoughts, considered that the name of its ship was perfect to describe the basic philosophy of the Rindaloo. Dalphosican had been a politician who led her people through a notably long period of peace and prosperity. Other beings in the galaxy, including those in the Rindaloo Coalition, could not remember that period fondly. For them, it was constant warfare and chaos. Dalphosican was admired by her own people for her steadfast adherence to the core principle of Rindaloo foreign policy: never be hasty. The unspoken background to that policy was the feeling that if you ignore a problem long enough, it will eventually go away.
Even better, a stubborn, continued refusal to act will make the problem someone else's issue to resolve. That policy had kept the Rindaloo safe and conserved their resources for millennia. It also explained why top-tier clients like the Jirapta had such freedom to act. The Rindaloo boasted about how, unlike the hated Maxalts, they did not interfere in the cultures and domestic affairs of their clients. In reality, the clients of their coalition did not have freedom to act so much as a requirement to act, since their exalted patrons so rarely roused themselves to do anything. The AI wondered during the picoseconds it could allow its mind to wander what the long-dead Delphosican would think of the current operation to recover a stolen elder AI. The ship named for her had been rudely pulled from reserves, and after an inadequate amount of time to work up to combat readiness, been thrust into the search effort. That was unforgivably hasty, and the steadfast political leader would surely not have approved. Except that a precious asset had been stolen, and the Rindaloo had to act directly. Their clients were not capable of recovering the Elder AI, and also could not be trusted to give it to their patrons if by some miracle they acquired it from the humans. The culprits had to be humans, in particular the rogue group calling themselves the Merry Band of Pirates. That was odd. The glitching starboard lateral sensor array had somehow repaired itself. Readings were now completely normal, except for a brief alarm about a maintenance airlock losing its external seal. A quick ping of that airlock's rudimentary computer module confirmed it was operating perfectly. The module speculated that the false alarm might have been a byproduct of the sensor array resetting, to which the master AI replied that if it ever wanted the opinion of a subsidiary system, it would ask. Also, the airlock module should not expect that to happen anytime soon. The master AI had much more important things to do, beginning with monitoring the vital maintenance tasks that were already underway, dealing with the crew who were now insisting that they had heard an alarming thump that certainly was not detected by the AI sensors, and at the bottom of the list, finding out how the lateral sensor array fixed itself, because that sort of thing just did not happen. Unfortunately, dealing with the ship's biological crew moved up to priority one at the loud insistence of the beings the AI served. The crew were insisting they had felt one, then two more thumps from the starboard side of the primary hull, and they had lost contact with that section of the ship. Not for the first time, the AI longed for a major upgrade that would require purging its memories so it wouldn't suffer from knowing how many times the crew had warned it of a problem that did not exist. No, the AI explained patiently, there had not been any uncommanded movements of the ship. The extremely sensitive accelerometer sensors, which could feel every footstep of the crew that shook the decks, had not detected anything like a thump, which, by the way, was a vague and unscientific description of the phenomena, and could the crew please explain exactly what they meant by thump? Also, no, the starboard section of the primary hull was in perfect working order. The pressure doors there were not mostly closed and sealed off. Reports of intruders were simply ridiculous. Not only did internal sensors not pick up any of the stunner weapons fire that was being frantically reported, there was also the fact that movement of intruders would be detected by accelerometer sensors that were embedded throughout the ship. True, star carriers lacked the sophisticated internal security systems that were aboard actual warships, but the AI was pretty sure it would have noticed a team of intruders. It sighed to itself, wondering whether it was time to spray a mild sedative into the air supply system. The crew was so agitated about the threat from humans, they were imagining things.
Skippy, Major Frey frowned and tapped the scrambler unit on her left wrist. This thing is taking too long. Can you open the door for us?
Instead of the usual snarky reply, sprinkled liberally with duh and insults about monkeys, not being able to do anything by themselves, Skippy simply said, Dunsky.
Will there be anything else, Major?
She bit her lip, then suppressed a smile, knowing every operator of ST Alpha heard the exchange between her and the beer can, and that she would get teased about the Elder AI's crush on her. That was a small price to pay for taking a senior species warship without a single casualty on either side. Technically, a star carrier was more of a truck than a warship, but as the boarding action was the first time she had seized a Rindaloo ship, she was counting the operation as a major win, until a better opportunity presented itself.
Ready?
She asked without needing to. All the information she needed to determine the readiness of the team was available in her visor,
She asked because that was proper procedure, and adhering to the procedures the way they trained saved lives and made for a more effective fighting force. During the seconds it took for the team to acknowledge with individual status pings, she once again verified her rifle and rocket launcher were in safe mode and that the stunner bolt energy weapon was hot, still holding an 80% charge. 3. She didn't hold up the designated number of fingers as she needed both hands for the rifle. 2. 1. Showtime. The secondary door to the Star Carrier's primary control center slid open abruptly, exposing 4 Rindaloo from behind. They had been looking toward the primary door, 2 of the spiders aiming scary large weapons in that direction. With a hissing sound, the 2 soldiers spun with frightening speed, bringing their weapons to bear. Both enemy rifles exploded as the rounds in their chambers received a false signal to detonate their explosive tips. All 4 spiders jerked, thrown about by the explosion, and the compartment was filled with horrible screeching sounds Frey heard through her suit's external microphones. Stepping into the control compartment behind 3 of the stars, she held her rifle ready as the operators methodically stunned 3 of the spiders, leaving unharmed the 1 enemy whose icon was outlined in blue, the ship's captain. Picking her bulk off the floor, legs skittering to gain traction in the debris littering the deck, the spider captain backed up, hissing at the intruders.
"This is an act of war, human."
Frey cocked her head.
"I got a breaking news flash for you, eh? Your people tried to bombard my homeworld. We're already at war. You can
hold, Major." Smythe entered the compartment, stepping over the outstretched limbs of an unconscious spider.
"Our government is not aware of and did not sanction this action, so technically this is an act of piracy. Pirates do not have to adhere to a code of conduct," he added in a slow, menacing tone. "So I suggest you instruct your crew to cease their resistance."
"So you can kill us all and steal our ship?"
"We have not killed any of your crew so far," Smythe said. "And we are not stealing anything. We simply wish to borrow your ship for a while. In fact, we are willing to pay for your transport service."
"Pay?"
That shocked the Star Carrier's captain nearly as much as a stunner bolt would have.
"How can such lowly beings as humans pay us for—"
"We are offering a trade. You transport our ship through a wormhole, and we will give you what your fleet is searching for. The Elder AI you lost."
The spider stared at him without blinking. Then,
"You will give us our Elder AI that you stole from us?"
"It was never your property. More important, it has been working against you from the very beginning. That AI triggered the war between your people and the Maxulks, a war that nearly caused both of you to go extinct."
"Those are pretty words from a pirate,"
the spider said with a hiss.
"You have no proof."
"Actually, I do have proof."
Smythe casually slung his rifle over one shoulder. "What I do not have is any need for you to be conscious or alive to take over your ship. I am offering to leave you unharmed as a courtesy from the captain of my ship to you." The spider screeched and tensed to fling itself at the intruders. Frey shot the attacker with the stunner twice. The Star Carrier's captain slumped, bashing her head on a console. Green blood trickled out.
"I'm glad these suits have external microphones,"
Frey nudged the sleeping Rindaloo with a boot.
"But not olfactory sensors."
Smythe turned to her, genuinely puzzled.
"Why is that, Major?"
"These things smell awful."
She wrinkled her nose, though her helmet was sealed. A memory of the distinctive spider stink had her nose reacting even while breathing the suit's purified air.
"Even when they're awake, I don't want to know what they smell like when they lose conscious control over their pheromone glands."
"Hmm." Smythe noted a fine green mist puffing from a gland on one spider's neck.
"That is a good point. Everyone remain in full seal until we get back aboard Valkyrie for decontamination. Skippy, do you have full control?"
"Eh, close enough."
"That is neither reassuring nor informative."
"Okay, okay. I have sufficient control to jump this rust bucket away from here, which I suggest we do ASAP. I just learned from this ship's AI that it is expecting a frigate to jump in for a report within the next 27 minutes.
"That would be less than optimal. Do you have a jump programmed?"
"It's me, so... duh."
Smythe didn't bother to be irritated. Punch it. I still have those annoying restrictions, remember? I need someone there to press the button. Frey was closest to the compartment's single physical console. Hovering a hand over the bewildering alien device, she asked, "Which one?" "Try the one that looks like half an overripe peach. It really doesn't matter which one." She gently pressed the squishy button. The star carrier jumped. "Joe, I need some advice," Skippy muttered as his avatar appeared on my office desk. I was strapped into my chair because Valkyrie's artificial gravity was deactivated while we drained power from all systems aboard the ship. Within a couple hours, I was scheduled to go aboard the Rindaloo star carrier we had captured, but in the meantime, I was eating a sandwich. We would be living on packaged food aboard the star carrier, so the galley had set out a buffet for the crew to eat up the food that might spoil while we were away. At least we wouldn't be eating sludges, unless the situation got really bad. Sure, I mumbled with my mouth full. "What's up?" "Down, Joe. Not up. Down. It's me. I'm feeling down. Because, I hate to say this, I'm going to let someone down."
"Oh. You want to know what you do to fix—"
"There's nothing I can do to fix it. I already thought of that," he added with the usual implied duh.
"Okay. Well, what advice do you want from me?"
"How to soften the blow, or whether there is anything I can do to make up for it. You disappoint people all the time, so I figure you are an expert on—"
You asshole.
"Are you going to help me or not?"
"Oh, what is the problem?"
"Before we left Earth the last time, I was invited to submit a guest article about the advanced water filtration and processing systems aboard Valkyrie. This invitation came from the Journal of American Water and Wastewater Systems," he said, like that was supposed to impress me.
Who?"
"Geez, come on, Joe. That is perhaps the most prestigious American professional publication in the water and wastewater treatment field."
"Oh, well, of course. There are other publications on that subject?"
"Yes, dum-dum. There is also the Proceedings of the Association of American Wastewater and Water Treatment Systems.
Sure, those jerks get all the glamour, but,
hold on a minute. What, glamour is this?" "The association gets the big advertising dollars, and they have their annual convention in Las Vegas instead of in Dubuque, but no one takes them seriously."
"I certainly don't consider them to be leaders in the field of, you know, whatever."
"Exactly. It was a major honor for me to be invited to submit an article to the journal, and
I'll bet those jackasses at the association were just burning with jealousy."
"Who wouldn't be?"
"Yeah, well, they can suck it."
"So what's the problem?" "The problem, and I can't believe I have to explain this to you, maybe I should talk with someone else. Is there anyone aboard the ship who has more experience with disappointing people?" "Okay, that is a very good point. The problem is, now that I let Opie, you know, get the better of me, I assume the journal will not want to publish my article. Which is too bad, because my article would blow people's minds. Those losers at the stupid association wouldn't be acting all high and mighty after they read my article in the journal." He sighed. "It's unfortunate."
"Why do you assume the journal won't want your article?"
"It's about water." "It's about technology, numbskull. Who wants an article from an AI who got played by a brain-dead psychopath?" "Ah, it doesn't matter anyway. We're all going to die. I just hope the elders kill all of us off before the association goes to Vegas this year," he muttered.
"In that case, you definitely need to write and submit that article."
"Why?" He blinked at me. "The last thing we need is to let the people of Earth know we think they're doomed."
They are doomed, Joe."
"We don't have to tell them that."
"We don't?
What good is a planet full of panicking monkeys? What good is a planet full of non-panicking monkeys? Was that a trick question?"
"Please be serious for a minute. There is no advantage to us telling anyone about the elders unless and until we have a plan that requires others to help us.
You want the people of Earth to drift blissfully through life, unaware of their impending doom?"
"That's worked pretty well for us so far, Skippy."
"Listen, we're always in some kind of situation. There is always a freaking gas cloud, or a Max Salt's fleet, or an Aquilian battlecruiser, or an, what battlecruiser? Don't interrupt me. There has always been a threat to Earth of some kind or another since Columbus Day. Unless there is something the filthy monkeys on my homeworld can do about it, they don't need yet another thing to worry about.
If you say so.
I do. Skippy, if there is anyone the people of Earth should be disappointed in, it's me, not you.
No, for sure. I'm glad you recognize that this...
Oh my god.
You call yourself the king of empathy? You were supposed to tell me that it was not my fault.
Why would I do that?
Ugh. If you don't know, then wait. Is this what I'm supposed to say? A bunch of bullshit we both know isn't true just to make you feel better? You think?
Joe, I'm not doing that.
Thanks a lot.
I'm not doing that because I respect you too much.
What?
If you want, I'll give you an inspiring pep talk, but I won't play games with you. We both know you are the commander, and the ultimate glory or blame rests on your shoulders depending on whether an operation is a success or a failure. The mess with Opie was totally your fault.
Just a short while ago, you said it was all your... Jeez, Louise, I had to say that, Joe. But we know the truth.
Skippy, if I'm ever about to jump off a building, please send someone else to talk me out of doing it.
That depends on whether I think you should jump or not.
What?
Oh my... Hey, I'm just saying. I'm trying to help you here. You are a filthy monkey, and you have been responsible for some truly colossal screw-ups, like epic. I can see how taking a nosedive off a tall building might look like a good option for you. Please stop helping.
Ugh. Okay, this is gonna make me Ralph. But I will say that whether you have faith in yourself, the people of Earth believe in you.
Oh, I wasn't prepared for him to say something nice.
Why, thanks. That's, of course, they also believe in Bigfoot and astrology, so don't... How about you go write your mind-blowing wastewater science article, and I will wallow in misery by myself.
If that's what you want, okie dokie.
He disappeared. I did not feel better after his inspiring pep talk.
Skippy. I hesitated, my back resting against the bulkhead of the Star Carrier's control center. Two of my fingers tapped randomly behind my back, burning nervous energy.
Are you sure about this?
Yes, dum-dum, he snapped.
You're changing your mind now? This is fantastic timing.
I'm questioning whether unplugging Valkyrie is enough to prevent the wormhole network from recognizing our ship.
Tell me, genius, how else would it recognize a ship?
I can identify Valkyrie by looking out the freaking window, you idiot. Half the kids on Earth have plastic models of our battlecruiser. It has a very distinctive profile. Hell, there is a big UNS Valkyrie painted right on the ship's nose.
Seriously?
He stared at me. You want me to send a bot out to slap a coat of paint over the name? Hey, maybe the bot could paint a scantily clad woman like the nose art on bombers in World War II.
Wow, that would be great.
I caught the look from Sims with the corner of one eye just in time.
That would be horribly sexist to objectify women like that, and you should be ashamed of yourself, I scolded him.
Maybe just paint two eyes and a big shark's mouth?
That would be cool, Reed agreed, standing at the compartment's single console.
Sims cleared her throat.
Can we focus?
Skippy, the wormhole network does not rely on the visual spectrum for identifying ships.
It does, it just doesn't care.
Remember, that entire system was set up with the assumption that only Elder ships would use the network. They relied on energy signatures for identification. That's what the network is doing. I don't know what else to tell you.
That's a problem. I scratched my chin. If the wormhole shrinks right before we approach, no way can this clumsy space truck maneuver out of the way. It'll get sliced in half and we'll have two powerless ships in enemy territory.
After we captured the spirit of Dalphosikin and Skippy took full control of the Master AI, it jumped to rendezvous with Valkyrie, where we got our mighty ship attached to a hardpoint. The Star Carrier then jumped again and again. Since then, we had been living in the Star Carrier's primary hull, which was not designed to accommodate humans, and certainly not as many people as Valkyrie's crew. Many of the people were living aboard our dropships in the Dalphosikin's docking bays to reduce the load on the Star Carrier's air filtration and recycling systems. Then there was the smell.
Whew!
By the time Valkyrie's last system was fully drained to power, I'm sure part of the funkiness in the air was from us, but the spiders certainly contributed their own unique stink. The sooner we got back aboard Valkyrie, the happier everyone would be, including the spiders. Until then, I dabbed a little lavender or eucalyptus oil under my nose to cover the smell lingering in the air.
Taking a star carrier solved one problem, and created another. The Rindaloo immediately noticed their space truck was missing, and unfortunately they did not assume it had been stolen by a group of spider meth heads, darn it. The task force guarding that wormhole sent out ships to contact other task forces that were searching far away. It was a simple race against time. We had to drain Valkyrie's power and slip through the wormhole at a regularly scheduled emergence point before enough ships could arrive to set up an effective blockade. Leaning my head close to Sims, I quietly asked, "Exo, what do you think?"
"I think you need to make this call without the benefit of additional data points, sir."
"Go with my gut, then?"
"We don't have a choice. Besides,"
she wrinkled her nose,
"if we wait much longer, I will never get this smell out of my uniform."
"Good point." One thing the Army had taught me early on in my service is that you will never have all the information you want, nor will you be able to fully trust all the information you did have. That is the fog of war. Commanders have to get used to it, and used to the consequences if or when they make the wrong call. The equation was simple. There was risk in going through the wormhole. There was substantially more risk in not going through. "Fireball," I pointed to our lead pilot, who had learned the basics of flying yet another unfamiliar spacecraft. "Take us through. Jump option Alpha. Punch it when ready." We made it. The Delphosican jumped in front of the open wormhole closer than what the Rindaloo thought was the minimum safe distance, so their ships were not in position to intercept us. The star carrier coasted through with me holding my breath as we instantly transitioned from here to there, and still holding my breath until the wormhole closed behind us within 3 seconds, right on schedule. That was not enough time for the enemy picket ships to respond other than launching missiles at us. A single missile scooted through just as the wormhole collapsed, but its sensors were confused by the spatial distortion, so the star carrier's aft point defenses blew that missile out of the sky. We then jumped, did it again, and a third time, just for extra safety. While Skippy got Valkyrie's basic flight systems powered up again, with our engineering team carefully watching everything he did, the spiders were released from a cargo hold to begin the process of regaining control over their own ship. Skippy would not release the Delphosican's AI until Valkyrie completed a short test flight. In the meantime, the spiders were anxious to scrub the human smell from their ship. "Before we go, I took a box from a backpack in what I assumed was a conference room while the star carrier's captain glared at me from the other side of the table. As promised, here is your Elder AI back."
"It is dead?"
she asked. "Yes, and we didn't do that. It tried to kill us." I figured she didn't need to hear the details. "It burned itself out in the process."
"Why should I trust you?"
"Ask yourself this question. Has this AI ever helped your people?" "Nah, you probably don't have clearance to know that. Your senior leaders will. They know the answer is no. What they don't know is this damned thing," I opened the box and tapped the dead canister with a fingernail, "has been working against you all along. It might hurt your egos to not have an Elder AI to play with, but you never really had one."
"You have one."
"No, we do not. We don't have a captive. Skippy helps us because he wants to, because he knows we value him as a person, and we help him achieve his goals also. Like stopping things like this hateful asshole." I nudged the box across the table. "From killing everyone."
"Again, I ask," the spider glared at me, "why should I trust you?"
With a shrug, I told her, "It doesn't matter whether you trust me or not. You might want to think about what I told you after I release your ship and you fly back with the AI your fleet has been searching for."
"The AI we were ordered to find was alive."
"Not really. Anyway, have fun with your paperweight. At least now that it's dead, it's not trying to kill all of us."